Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. I'm Mary Lynn Polk, the lay leader, and I'm going to be slipping out because I've got to get to annual conference, and it starts at 1:30 in Florence. So I did want to come back and make the announcements. I'm glad to be back with you folks, and I think that we need to prepare our hearts for worship. Let's begin by singing our hymn of preparation on the inside of your bulletin. Hope you had an opportunity to look at the Sunday update that's in your Sunday school classrooms, and some of you probably have taken it home. Pre-registration today and next Sunday from 9:30 till 10 in the Fellowship Hall for Bible School. You'll see the sign out front advertising our program on Babylon, and I do hope that you will encourage your children or your neighbors. Bring your neighbor's children to the Bible school. You might also want to make a note in your calendar that we will be having our appreciation dinner for Pastor Terry and his wife Linda on Sunday, June the 24th. We're also asking for either emails or notes that you might write for us to put in a memory book for them. We did that for Jim and Caroline Dennis, and they were most appreciative. So if you would recall some of the events, some of the experience that you've had, and enclose those in a memory book for them to take with them. And we also want to call to your attention the Cambridge and Maine Worshiping God Through the Arts. That was an excellent program last year. The registration filled up pretty quickly, and they really did enjoy that experience. The children benefited from it, and the people who were leading it said they benefited from it too as well. Registration deadline is July the 13th, but may I urge you not to wait, because this is a combined open. Of course, everything is open, but this is one that's publicized in the community, and it's very well attended. So you want to get your registration in early. And it is also limited to 30 youngsters, grades 3 through 8, to participate in the Worshiping God Through the Arts. And the culmination of the experience will be a worship service. Now, as we listen to the chiming of the Trinity, let us focus on our worship as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Thank you. morning. Will all who are able please stand for the call to worship? God is our constant companion. There is no need that God cannot fulfill. When our pain is severe, when our burden is heavy, when our depression darkens the soul, when we feel empty and alone, God fills the aching vacuum. We trust in God's promises. God will not let us go.
Please join with me with the invocation. Faithful God, we come into your presence with thanksgiving, deeply grateful for the unfailing love and faithfulness you have shown toward us, your people. When we called out to you, you answer. When we are exhausted, you give us strength to go on. When we find ourselves in trouble, you are there standing beside us. And so we come before you with gratitude and praise, offering you the worship of our hearts and lives. Open our eyes to see and know you are here among us. Open our ears to recognize your voice. And then send us out from here to live and work in the world as your faithful disciples. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, amen. And if you would join me, please, in the affirmation of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From this he can come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The epistle reading for today comes from Paul's second letter to the Church of Corinth, starting with the 13th verse of the 4th chapter and continuing through the first verse of the 5th chapter. Listen now for God's word to us. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away. Our inner nature is being renewed day by day, for this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house made not with hands, eternal in the heavens. Today's gospel reading is from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 3, verses 20 through 35. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. And the crowd came together again, so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He had Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demons, he cast out demons." And he called to them and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house will go be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whosoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, he has an unclean spirit. Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you. And he replied, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Let us pray. God, we love you very much. We thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for all your blessings. We thank you for being with us. Lord, we thank you for our church, and we pray for our church. We pray for our church as change is taking place, and we just pray that we can take advantage of opportunities, Lord, to do your work. We pray that our church can reach out and be a difference maker. We pray that our church can always put you first. God, we pray for so many within our church. We pray that you will please be with Jay. We pray for Billy. We pray for Arthur. We pray for so many others, Lord. You know us, and you know who we're talking about. We pray for your strength for them. We pray for strength for their family. We pray that you will give them the strength they need each and every day. God, we thank you for the day's rain, for the soaking of the ground that we need so much. We pray for those in Alabama that are struggling, Lord. Maybe they've gotten a little bit too much. But we pray that you will be with them with the flooding, that you will please watch over them. God, we know how much you love us. We know how much you care for us. And God, help us to take every advantage we can and every advantage of every opportunity to show you how much we love you. God, we thank you for all you do. We again thank you for this church, for the lessons that we learn each and every day, for the friendships that we have, for the opportunities to grow in our faith. Thank you. God, thank you so much for everything, but most of all, for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. If our ushers will please come forward for our offering. Thank you.
Bye. right. God, for these gifts, we thank you
for the opportunity to give
back to you part of what you give to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Will the children please come forward for the children's message?
And as they come forward, we're still collecting money for Heifer International and trying to get a knitter's basket, and which involves buying four different animals. So we have collected about $250, and I believe the cost is right over $400. So we are still striving to do that.
Good morning, everybody. Y'all might remember, Sam and Layton probably remember this, and maybe Ella, probably a month or two ago, when I was doing children's time, I was trying to use Mr. Rob's iPhone, and I didn't really know how to use it. Do y'all remember that day? Well, now I've sort of, you know, gotten a little more, educated in technology. And so I have my very own iPad, but I still don't really know how to use it very well. But I want to show you a picture. So y'all come really close, and I want you to all look at this picture. Can you see it, Ella? Can you see it, Mary Margaret? What do you see? What do you see, Tyler? Okay, Layton, what is it? What do you see?
A bunch of lions and a man.
And a man. What's the man doing? He's staring out the window. Does it look like a sunny day outside? Yeah, because you can kind of see the sun shining in the window. Well, that's Daniel when he was in the lion's den. And all of those lions could be attacking him, couldn't they? But are they? No. And what do you think that Daniel is thinking about when he's looking out that window, Sam? Wow. Okay. Do you think maybe he's praying? So he could... He could be thanking God and praying and asking God to keep him safe and to protect him. Well, this summer in Bible school, we're going to learn all about Daniel and when he was held in captivity in the lion's den, and how he was so courageous, and he had lots and lots of courage. And even though he was in a very scary situation, he trusted God to be there for him and to save him. And we can trust God to be there for us and to save us all the time too. So I want to read a verse to you. And it says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So what do you think that means? What do you think that means? If God is our help and our refuge, what do you think that means, Ella or Layton? He's our the base of our life. That's great, Layton. Exactly. In the same way that he helped Daniel, he helps us, and he's always there for us, and he tells us that he will never, ever leave us. He'll always be there. So I hope that y'all are going to be able to come to Bible school this summer and invite your friends so that we can learn a whole lot more about Daniel and have a really good time while we're doing it. All right, so let's say a quick prayer. Dear God, thank you for the story of Daniel. And for his courageousness. And help us to remember that you will always be there for us. And thank you for never leaving us. We love you. Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated. I don't know if y'all happened to notice a young boy that was walking down the aisle and he was collecting money. I don't know if you noticed where he stopped or not. But would you two gentlemen please raise your hand right here on the second row? Miss Valentine, y'all, right there. That's where he stopped. He knew exactly where to stop, didn't he? And they pulled out one bill and he didn't leave. And he ordered another one. I haven't seen that from that perspective, but I enjoyed seeing that. I wish somebody could share with me whether this water is left over from last week or whether this is new water. Does anybody know?
2 weeks ago.
Well, I won't drink the water then. I was thinking that maybe I'd get me a swallow, but... I'm just kidding. I tell you, Mary gave me one bit of advice, and first of all, I appreciate you being here. I thought, you know, I'm trying to do a little motivational talk, and I move away from this, and you can't hear me, but a little motivational talk, and then we decided that with it raining and with the minister not here, that anybody's here doesn't really need motivated, because you're already motivated. So we appreciate very much your being here. But Mary did say one thing. She said, you know, basically be short, sweet, and to the point. Short, sweet, and to the point. You know, Mary, as most wives, sort of have a way of putting me in my place. We were at a function several weeks ago now in Greenville, and there were a lot of high school and college football coaches there. And it was a big crowd, a lot of people, and we certainly enjoyed being there. And so I sort of whispered to Mary, I said, gee, Mary, there are a lot of great coaches in this room. And she whispered back, she said, yes, Shell, and there's one less than you think. Now, come on now, we got to get a little bit better. We got to get into it. If we're that dry, it's going to be a long time. Because Terry said I had to keep you here to 12 o'clock, so, you know, we got to keep going. Let us pray. God, for being with us today and for this service, we thank you. Help your will to be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we were in this meeting in Greenville a few weeks ago, a lot of discussion came up, and people were talking, and they were talking about, you know, and again, it's mostly football coaches. We're not going to talk about football this morning, but it was mostly football coaches, and talking about what was needed to be successful. What was needed to be successful, and some of the things that mentioned, of course, were you have to have good players, you got to have good leadership, you got to have community support, you got to have parental support. A lot of those are givens, and they're true in every community. But then there was one other word that kept coming up. One other word that kept coming up throughout the discussion. And you know it's the same word. It was referring to football teams, but it's the same word that we at Main Street United Methodist Church need to do God's work. It's the same word that we need to meet the needs of our members. It's the same word that we need to make a difference in our community. It's the same word that we need to spread the good news, help each other grow in the faith, and be a viable Christ-first church or Christ-centered church. Any team, any business, any individual, any school, commitment, to go from being ordinary to being extraordinary takes commitment. And we're going to come back to that in a few minutes. A lot of people want to be involved. A lot of people want to be on the team. A lot of people want to work for a big company. A lot of people want to be a straight-A student. A lot of people want to sit in the pew. A lot of people want to have their name on the roll, but to be effective, to make a difference, to serve our risen Savior, the involvement must change to commitment. It's easy to be involved, a little bit more difficult to be committed. 1997 was our first year in Greenwood. We were excited about being here. It was a great opportunity. We were 2-9. 2-9. Mary said, "Why did you bring me here?" 2-9. I don't know if you remember the superintendent's son sitting right there that first year. The preacher said, "What do we need to pray for?" And Jacob Kinlaw said, "Pray for Coach Dula." I looked at John Kinlaw. I said, "Does he know something I don't know?" But anyway, we lost to Westside that year 49-6. It was a tough year. 1998 was better. 1998 were better. We were 6-2. We were going to Westside, who had beaten us 49-6. We were going to Westside, and we were going to play for the region championship. That was a team we had to beat then to win the region championship. So we're getting ready. Every Friday at the end of school, we would have a meeting in the cafeteria. We would have a devotion, and then we would have a pregame meal. At that time, probably the best football player we had was a young man named Ricky Grant. Ricky was a linebacker. He was a sophomore back in 1998. He was a good player, a very good player. Ricky was late to the devotion. He walked in about 30 seconds late. I got up very nicely, walked to the back of the room, asked Lee Sawyer, our defensive coordinator, and Gene Cathcart, who's now the head coach at Greenwood. He was an offensive coordinator. I said, "Join me, Ricky. Come outside." I said, "Ricky, you're not going to play tonight. You don't know how to be on time. You're going to learn to be on time. You're not going to play." Again, they beat us 49-6. We're going over there. We're playing for the region championship. And we're telling our best football player, "You're not going to play." Well, Ricky didn't believe me. He didn't believe. He said, "Ah, he's kidding." So we go over there and we warm up and the game starts. And Ricky is standing right up there on the sidelines. He's got all four of those chin strap buckles. He's ready to go. He says, "I know I'm going in. I know I'm going in." Second quarter, he unbuttons two of them. Third quarter, he's got them all four unbuckled. Fourth quarter, Ricky's got his helmet off and he's socialized, so to speak, you know, because he knows he's not going to play. He knows he's not going to play. Commitment, I think, was earned a little bit that night. The involvement of being a part of Greenwood High football went to a commitment. Takes a little bit more. Anybody can be involved, but to be committed. "I sing because I'm happy." I can't believe you didn't ask me to sing a duet. "I sing because..." That is a beautiful song. Great. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. I was going to say that earlier, and I just now remembered it, so I'm a little bit out of whack, but that's okay. That's all right. That's okay. But a commitment. Commitment. There was a kamikaze pilot in Japan. We're familiar with the kamikazes in Japan. A kamikaze pilot in Japan. He was interviewed after his 50th kamikaze flight. All right, now let's get with me. He was interviewed. He flew 50 kamikaze missions. Now, you know, a kamikaze is supposed to dive into a ship or whatever. But he flew 50. So a reporter asked him afterwards. He said, "How can someone be a kamikaze pilot and still be alive after 50 missions?" His response, well, it's like this. "I was very involved, but I wasn't very committed." Very involved, not committed. A true kamikaze only flew one mission. He was a half-hearted kamikaze. To be a meaningful person, to be a meaningful church, to be a successful team, the involvement has got to change to commitment. There was a farmer. We have some farmers in here. There was a farmer who, he and his wife were talking. And the farmer says, "You know, dear, we need to invite all the neighbors and we need to have breakfast for them one morning. One Saturday morning, we need to have breakfast." And the wife said, "You know, that's a great idea. That's a great idea." Well, the chicken and the pig sort of overheard what was being said. Some of you done heard this joke, I guess. The chicken and the pig overheard him. And that chicken says, "I can't believe it. I can't believe it. You mean I got to lay enough eggs to feed everybody?" That pig said, "Yeah, that's going to be real tough. That's a real involvement from you. For me, he wants ham. It's going to be a total commitment." It's going to be a total commitment. A lot of people want to be involved. Not everybody wants to be committed. Nearly every great leader in history accomplished something special because they were committed to the cause. They were committed. Joan of Arc, age 17, led 3,000 men into battle. She knew her role. She knew her life mission. She once said to a general, "I will lead the way over the wall." The general said, "Joan, fine, but not a man is going to follow you." She said, "That's okay. I'm not going to be looking back. I'm not going to be looking back to see if they're coming." Commitment. Moving forward. Making a difference. Serving. Doing God's work. Joan of Arc, 19 years old when she was burned alive at the stake. She could have spared her life. All she had to do was change her allegiance, but she wouldn't do it. One life is all we have, and we live it, and then it's gone. But to give up what we are, to live without belief, is more terrible than dying. She wouldn't sway. She was committed to the cause. She was committed to making a difference. You see, people, churches, we're either thermometers or thermostats. Now, I need to give you about 5 minutes to think about that, but I'm not. We're either thermometers or thermostats. We either reflect the climate around us or we set the climate. We either reflect it or we set it. Committed, dedicated Christians, committed, dedicated churches develop values and principles to live by. They set the pace for others. Thermometers tell the temperature. Thermostats set the temperature. Main Street United Methodist Church, a thermostat. Set the pace. Move forward. Make a difference. Most people and a lot of churches are thermometers. They reflect the culture around them. They say what other people say. They do what other people do. Most don't set the climate. They just mirror the climate. Committed, dedicated Christians, committed, dedicated churches take life to the next level. Opportunity is here. Somebody said for Main Street Methodist Church, what a great opportunity. An opportunity to make a difference. An opportunity to go to the next level. An opportunity to continue what's going on and build on it. And build on it. And build on it. When we came to Greenwood again, we tried to build on what Coach Babb had done. Coach before us took the G off the helmet, all that kind of stuff. We want to build on it. So many positive things have and are still taking place at Main Street United Methodist Church. We just build on it. We aren't satisfied. We talked in Sunday school today, you never stay the same. Individually, we never stay the same. We either grow in the faith or we go down in the faith. Same thing with the church. We either grow or we rescind. We need to grow. We need to build on what's here and make more and more of a difference. Take our ministry to a next level. Become excited about opportunities to make a difference. Nelson Mandela, former leader of South Africa. Truett Cathy, founder of Chick-fil-A. Mother Teresa. All these folks are respected not because they're flashy, not because they're flashy speakers, not because they dress flashy, but because they're leaders who live by certain values, and they won't drift from those values. We were in the mall in Columbia yesterday. We went to Chick-fil-A to get 4 chicken strips. Took us about 20 minutes. Can you imagine how much money Chick-fil-A could make on a Sunday? Can you imagine? But they won't do it. Truett Cathy says, no, we're not opening on Sunday. Won't drift from it. Dedicated, committed Christians. Dedicated, committed Main Street Methodist Church. Move forward. Build on what we have and take it to the next level. When that involvement becomes commitment, it can be done. It can be done. One of my favorite movies, We Are Marshall. We Are Marshall. We Are Marshall. We all know the story about the tragic plane crash and the rebuilding of that program. We are Main Street. Be proud of it. We're Main Street. Make a difference. We're Main Street. Don't be satisfied where we are. Move forward. Just like Joan of Arc, move forward. I don't know if you realize or not, the Medal of Honor Museum is in Charleston, South Carolina. The museum honoring the Medal of Honor winners. And did you realize that there are more Medal of Honor winners from Pickens County, South Carolina, than any other one place in America? More Medal of Honor winners from Pickens County. Medal of Honor winners, if you listen to them, are ordinary young men, young women, who on a certain day did something very extraordinary. An ordinary young man or young woman who on a certain day did something very extraordinary. On 60 Minutes 3 or 4 weeks ago, there was this special about this young man who 4 or 5 times went from safety into harm's way and back trying to save his fellow soldiers. Over and over and over he did this. He said, I'm ordinary. I was just trying to save my friends. I was just trying to make a difference. Men, we started off a few minutes ago saying when involvement becomes commitment, ordinary can go to the extraordinary. When involvement becomes commitment, the ordinary can go to the extraordinary. Audie Murphy. Man, I got so fired up last weekend. We don't get a lot of the movie channels, but last weekend, Starz had a special. And we had the Starz station. And we had Starz Western. And they had three straight Audie Murphy movies. And needless to say, Mary didn't like it, but we watched all three of them. Audie Murphy's got South Carolina connections. Audie Murphy was born in South Carolina, moved to Texas at a very young age. Most decorated American soldier in World War II. Maybe the most decorated soldier ever, but at least in World War II. And remember what Audie Murphy said? Hey, I wasn't doing anything special. I was doing what I was supposed to do. I was doing what I was supposed to do. I was trying to save my friends. I was trying to save my fellow soldiers. Ordinary becomes extraordinary. Young men, young women doing something extraordinary. What an opportunity for us. No, we can't compare it, but yet we can compare it. When we as a church and we as a congregation, because we're the church, when we choose to become committed and our ordinary becomes extraordinary, what service for Jesus Christ we're doing. What difference makers we can be. We're ordinary men and women, boys and girls, but with a total commitment to our Savior Jesus Christ, to a total commitment to our church, we can do extraordinary things. And the thing is, it wouldn't be that new because extraordinary things have been done at Main Street. They're being done. We just build on it. We just take it to another level. And now's the time. Now's the opportunity. No minister can do anything by themselves. If we think, well, you know, we're getting a new minister, he's going to take care. No, no, no. Terry couldn't do it all by himself. Jim couldn't do it all. Patty couldn't do it all. Takes all of us. Barrett Edelwine can't do it all. Can he, Fred? Can't do it. Great opportunity. Great opportunity. We're Main Street. We're Main Street. Let our involvement turn to commitment. Even C.J. Lupo couldn't do it all. Great ministry, great time at Main Street, great things going on, but commitment, involvement, everybody working together. When involvement becomes commitment, ordinary folks like you and I can do extraordinary things to serve God. No greater gift than this, that one person laid down his life for another. No greater gift than this, that Jesus Christ laid his life for us, and he says, do what you can for us. Commitment. It's easy to be involved. Tough to be committed. But that's what it takes. Because when we're committed, ordinary people can do extraordinary things. Let us pray. God, thank you. Thank you for your love. God, help us to get excited Help us to do your will. Help us to pass it on to others as we live life each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And the final hymn is Passing On. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his countenance to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord be with you each and every day as we do his service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.